one that I remember is Pastor House Watch 9. On Tuesday, it's like Blue Monday for other members. You know what your constituents work made us to come late yesterday or early this morning. With 5 minutes. This is the first time that we're waiting for any members. Honorable members, let me take this opportunity to greet you, hoping that you are fresh, irrespective of your activities during the weekend. I feel that others, they were marching, so they're supposed to be tired. let me take this opportunity to welcome our Tennis South Africa. Please don't say anything about the women's presentation. I've said it already. You see, already it is that when you have your visitor, you don't see any woman. Of course, then. You know that I cannot just keep quiet. According to our agenda, is tennis transformation, and then other things for the community. With us, we have a president of Tennis South Africa, and the president of Tennis South Africa, I'll be giving him an opportunity to address and give us the call which is with him, and from there we'd love that members, let's just get to the business of the day. To you, President, thank you.
Madam Chair Lady, thank you very much for the introduction. Chief Cook, thank you very much for inviting us here today. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always a great privilege to be on Cape Town and to address such an august committee as this. The process is that I will provide a brief introduction. I will then hand over to Mr. Carpets here to address us on the presentation. I have Mr. Riot Davids, my Vice President, with me, and I have Mr. Petrus Abrahams, who is also a member of the board, and he is guiding our development and our transformation process. Ladies and gentlemen, tennis has a long history in South Africa. Tennis, by its nature, is an elite sport. It is an individual sport, and therefore, with any individual sport, it is an expensive sport. And therein lies one of our challenges, the fact that it is expensive. And in therein is our challenge to get up past all the urban areas and to get into the rural areas. That said, I have an immensely enthusiastic and committed board of directors of Tennis South Africa who are committed to developing the game in all aspects of South Africa and all around South Africa. It is with great pride that we have clean audit reports on our finances for the last 15 years. And the really important thing that I would like to emphasize about tennis, South Africa, is that it is about playing the sport of tennis. It is not about nurturing and building egos around the administrators of tennis. It is about playing the sport of tennis, and that is who we are focused on developing, encouraging, and providing a framework and an environment within which tennis can prosper, individual tennis players can achieve their rightful place, not only in sport in South Africa, but in fact in the game of tennis in the international arena. As you would have seen over the weekend, we had Kevin Anderson reach the finals of the Queen's Tournament in the United Kingdom. He is now ranked number 14 in the world. We also have a number of lady tennis players that we are seeing coming through. We have Sonny Stiepers, who is currently ranked about number 66 in the world. The other very, very pleasing thing that we are seeing in Tennis South Africa is that within our junior rents in particular, we are starting to see people of color reaching the finals and reaching the top echelons of our junior sport. Mr. Kutsia will show you, and you would have seen in your pack, the figures of how people from previously disadvantaged communities are now winning their age groups at our junior nationals, at our junior masters events, and the various tournaments that are held around in different provinces. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't intend to say much more. It is for Mr. Kutsia to go through the presentation to highlight the areas we believe that we have done well at, to address some of the areas that we have challenges with. I would like to indicate to the Madam Chairperson that we do have two of our fairer sex on our board of directors and the provincial executives. We also have ladies serving on the executives. So we are endeavouring to address that. I think the important thing to underline, not that I believe it's something to emphasise, is that administrators in tennis, in the form that sits here, are totally unremunerated. We do it because we are passionate about tennis in South Africa. We do it because we are passionate about sport in South Africa. And we do it because we are passionate about South Africa. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and Honourable Chiefer. Today I'm just going to go through critical areas of what tennis is, of position tennis, for those who are not accustomed to the sport or don't watch it often. It's always nice to know what is happening out in the world as far as tennis is concerned or a sport. And then we'll go through some statistics, and at the end hopefully we'll be able to show you what we're doing and what we believe we should be doing going forward. Madam Chair, are you happy? Please go. Thank you. So our vision is absolutely clear. The only way you can grow a sport, the only way you can measure if you're growing a sport is that you see it being played every day. Wherever you go, at the moment you drive through the different areas and you'll see this tennis court stand open, it shouldn't be stand open, it should be people playing tennis. So our whole vision is to drive whatever we do in tennis in South Africa as far as development is concerned, we drive towards that vision, to see someone playing tennis somewhere every day. And if we can achieve that, we've achieved an enormous amount of the sport. So the overview, to position where we are internationally as a sport. The IOC Sports Federation, as far as their statistics are concerned, from the amount of countries playing this sport, we are fifth largest sport in the world, tennis. There are 203 countries that are registered federations of the IOC. That's enormous. If you think, I don't see it, my favorite sports, apart from my tennis, my favorite sport, but I see cricket and I see rugby there, but they're getting those. But on the other side is the participation, and we're not far off that worldwide as well. We're sixth in the world. The International Tennis Federation has just completed a research document that honed and zoned in on South Africa as one of the developing countries, and we have more than 144,000 people playing tennis every single week. We just need to find where they are. And once we find where they are, we can develop them to start. So, as far as the sport is concerned, there is participation in South Africa, and there is, obviously, growth. And if you look at the highest paid sportsman in the world, in that category, Roger Federer is number 5. $67 million he's earned out of tennis. Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal are up there as well. The highest paid sportswoman in the world is Maria Sharapova. Overall, of all sports persons, she's 26 in the world. Serena Williams, number 47 in the world. And that earns huge money out of the sport. The Davis Cup and Fed Cup competitions are the largest annual team sports in the world. Larger than any, larger than soccer. They're played by far more countries in an annual tournament. Not every 4 years, annually. There's 122 nations playing the Davis Cup and Fed Cup. In 1974, South Africa won the Davis Cup, and that is huge accolade. And since then, you can imagine how much work we have to do to get back up there. South Africa at the moment ranked 41 out of 122 countries. That's highly ranked. And that's a team playing Davis Cup and playing around the world. In July this year, we faced Ireland in the Davis Cup at Arini in Swanee. Tough team to beat. We were in Turkey earlier this year. We lost our fraction. In fact, the last day was 9 hours of tennis between the four people. 9 hours. That's a huge amount of tennis struggling to win, boxing to the end. South Africa are a level 2 country within the IGF. The IGF is the International Tennis Federation. In fact, we have more votes than many, many countries that play in these grand slams. We have 8 votes because we were one of the founding members. South Africa was. And we need to nurture that. So, if we look at our international players, obviously did this before Ken played this weekend, but he's now ranked 14 in the world and he's getting better and better all the time. He loves South Africa. He wants to play for South Africa. And hopefully we can find sponsors to bring him here and to ensure that we can help us win the Davis Cup prize. But he's reached everything. He's achieved almost everything that a tennis player, top tennis player can achieve. Swanee Stiepers, the governor was talking about earlier. I mean, Jay, she is so good, and yet she's getting on now for a tennis player. But she's still committed. She played for us in the Fed Cup this year. The way she worked with our young girls is incredible to see. And she is absolutely an ambassador for us. Raven Carlton, I'm a little bit annoyed with my president. I ask you to please forgive me because you didn't mention that Raven Carlton won the Halle title as the women doubles partner this weekend. So, and Raven is an absolute ambassador for South Africa. Wherever he goes, he talks about this country and how lovely this country is. And he plays, and he's an absolute gentleman. If ever you want to meet him, please do, because he is just that nice a person. Little Richard from Botswana. 7 years ago, 8 years ago, we started quite an extensive development program in Gauteng North. And this little gentleman has gone through those ranks. And in fact, he's a number one in South Africa, number 16. He'll beat many, many under 18 tennis players. He is phenomenal. Get a chance to see him play. His poetry mushes. We've got two other little guys. The Monty brothers.
Can you just speak about him? He won the Africa Junior Championships under 60 in Indonesia a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
Which is on, and in the bottom one you have to say qualified for Junior World Cup.
I believe you're tough, madam, too.
I was wondering, what is going on now? I'm just using the platform. So
thank
those
you,
who want to add on, they will do so.
Thank you, madam. But I'll get to that shortly. I'm sure you've all been watching what's happening in our disabled sport, wheelchair tennis. We have top class players. Wherever they play, people are in awe of what they can do and what they can achieve. We call her KG. KG is also a very special woman. She plays the sport. You'll never see her upset. You'll never see her hurt. She just handles every ball and every shot with absolute passion. Luca Sartori, winner of many, many top titles. You've all seen and heard. Winning the US Open is no small feat. Please believe it is a real tough task. And that week, the 2 weeks leading up to the final, you really have to battle the tennis. And Lucas is always there, and that face is all you see. And at the end, you'll just see the key. He smiles, he laughs. He's also a very special person. One of the juniors coming through, I'm hoping to get on to the board, Madam Chair. She's really good. She's a top-class player, and she participates in the Paralympics, and she's got a very, very, very good track record and a growth record. The week leading up to Youth Week, I just want to show you what happened in what tennis did internationally. Lloyd Harris, singles title winner of a futures tournament in Mozambique, international tournament. The winner. He's not 18 yet. Lucas Sartori, just shows you. He won the single and doubles titles at Ahu. A very, very tough tournament, and he won it. Evans, in a different category, he was a finalist in that category. It's Richard Tungwana, the Junior Davis Cup. This has never happened in the history of South Africa, that our Junior Davis Cup team have qualified for the finals in September against the rest of the world. And that is just an absolute accolade. Ruan and Dean, they doubles winners at Uzbekistan International Tournament. And then young Marty Veru, she just, I think she's just turned 19, I think she is, in Antananarivo. That's in 1 week, ladies and gentlemen. Our team have been out there winning international tournaments, apart from Kevin and Levin. They are out there winning tournaments. And I think that's definitely shows you that we are very, very conscious of developing our performance tennis players. We can go through this list of achievements. They're all accolades. They're all very good accolades. And if any federation sat here and showed you those sort of statistics, you'd be impressed. So let's look at the structure of tennis. We have a federation in every region. We are developing districts. It's something new for us. We have. It's a lot of hard work to get there, and we are busy working on that. And we'll discuss a bit further in the program. We have programs in every region. We have player development. We have coaches development. We have umpire and official capacity building. We are starting. We've just developed a little thing called it's a toolbox for clubs, and that has everything in it that we can take into the rural areas on how to start a tennis club. Gives you your constitution, your draft constitution, so it gives you how you should run a meeting, how you should address the meeting, how you run your finances. So that club development program is starting, and obviously schools program. We have a very strong schools program that needs to be expanded. We have 106 national tournaments annually. We have 6 international tournaments per year. We have 5 tournaments for wheelchair tennis, and those are national tournaments. We have 1 international tournament every year with wheelchair tennis, and it's very well attended and very well supported. Our leagues, 80% of our provinces have very, very well organized leagues and expanding. The participation in the Africa ITF, and we are a member of the International Tennis Federation, and of course a very, very sound member of SASCOC. That I'm sure we get beaten up there as well. So we hope we stop getting beaten up very soon. If we look at the organizational structure, we'll see that every one of the provinces in the federation structure is somebody representing wheelchair tennis. The 8 regions we have, in every one of the districts we have the district federation structures. In Gauteng, there's the 2 Citibank and Westbank still getting together and developing. They're not quite there yet. So if we look at that structure, then in a province we typically have the district structure and then the clubs underneath them. So that structure is replicated throughout the country. And as I said, we still have some challenges in the districts which we have to address. Transformation and development. The board, we have 1 disabled person representation, and that is it's a female. In the whites, we have 8, of which 1 is female. And in blacks, we have 4, of which 1 is female. So hopefully we can change that, Madam Chair. We've taken heed to your suggestions, and we will definitely address that moving forward. The staff in the office, we have 4 disabled, 2 of which are female. We have 10, 8 of which are female. And blacks, we have 18, 2 of which are female. So that demographic is a lot better than the board, and I'm sure we'd start moving towards that. Performance players of colour, if you look at girls, in the top 20 South Africa, 5 of them are players of colour, under 12. Under 14, 3, under 16. You can see that 2-3 years ago, that wasn't quite there. the development that we've done at this level wasn't there. Under 18, 4 in the top 20. And the boys, 5 under 12, 10 under 14, 1 under 16, same problem, that's Richard Tangwana, and 4 in under 18. These are two Monster brothers. They are incredible players. Absolutely incredible players. If that little one, you won't believe he's so small. Because I tell you what, if any one of us here on the table can turn his serve, I'll bet your case will be on that. Because he's just that good. He knows the game. He plays it with passion. And he hits the ball extremely hard for such a young man. In wheelchair, you can see it's predominantly in the black, where development of wheelchair has taken place. So that is, and it's also growing, and the player agenda is more balanced, and we're seeing a lot more development now within the female side of wheelchair. And this is exactly what we were saying earlier. We have not achieved what we set out to achieve originally, and that is the development of and the capacity building in all the regions as far as coaches are concerned and umpires and officials. This is an area that we need to focus on, and we have specific programs that we're going to be rolling up, and I'll be talking to that towards the end of this presentation. The developments you can see, we monitor and measure in every single province, the different projects that we're running, the structure of that project, what it is, and where the funding is coming from. And we do that with, this is just a slice of the whole program. But we do that with every one of our programs. It's measurable, it's in our board packs, and we're talking about development and the success of it. If you look at wheelchair tennis, they focus on community programs, and they do a lot of exhibitions in shopping centers where people can see how good these wheelchair tennis players are. And then they move into a national program where they start getting them into camps. Because of the difficulty with wheelchairs and transport, we hold these national camps where we can get them all together, put them in accommodation, and work with them to improve their performance. And then obviously high performance is a given. As far as able-bodied tennis is concerned, we have a specific roadmap. We have products and projects that work in every single age group. It is the one sport that you can play until you're 100 if you can still run. But 80 plus still play. We have seniors playing overseas older than 80, and they achieve a hell of a lot in tennis. But in urban, I was talking to one of our colleagues around the table about urban tennis. It's a product we're launching where you can play tennis in the street with a bat and a ball and a piece of string. And if you can play that in the streets, it just gets better and better, and you better you start moving into clubs. So, but we introduced tennis players. We have a program called Move It. That's all about, talks about how you move on a tennis court and how you build your body and your different muscles. Into a play and stay program where you learn to serve, rally, and score within a week. And then from there you develop the actual skill of playing tennis. And then we have programs specifically tailored for each age group, and it pulls over, and that's how we start producing players of that year. As far as governance concerned, and chair, Tennis SA and all the regions of Tennis SA have constitutions. They're all aligned to the Tennis SA constitution, which is aligned to the SAPOC constitution. So we all have democratically elected committees, and in every one of those committees, the demographics are aligned to what it needs to be from a South African committee. Every division has a national and provincial committee. So we talk about coaches. We have a coaches committee, national coaches committee, with a chairperson who is represented on the board of Tennis SA. They all have regular and official meetings and with ministers, and the board members are always in attendance. 90% of the time we're there. And as my honourable president said, we're all volunteers. We all have day jobs, and but yet we are passionate about this game. We have audited financial statements. I'll say more than 10 years. My president knows better than that. He's we've more than 15 years that we had team audits. So we are very, very, very focused on. I like to call it self-duggery. We're not into. We don't do those kind of things. And we make sure and certain that people that are elected have themselves a team audit. We operate within the framework of the National Sports Development Plan, and we adhere to all the rules and regulations of ITF and SAFCOC statutory requirements. a financial upset. Madam Chair, you can see we're not in the red, and yes, we don't have huge tournaments. And you can also see by the numbers, Madam Chair, we're a very small federation. To run what we're running with that sort of those sort of funds is very, very difficult. It talks to the reason why we might not be developing in areas that we should be at speed that we should be. To fund programs with, and you only have accumulated funds of 1.3 million, it's very difficult to do that, but that's no excuse. If we look at our profit and loss, we'll see that we generally break even. That is when we ran the SA Open, there was a bit of a loss at that time. However, you can see we generally break even or just a small deficit. I think this slide is more important though, where the money comes from, and you can see here that it's balanced. These are sponsored and government grants. The rest we get from other activities, whether it's school income, ball levies, membership fees, tickets, and the like. So whilst we need more support from all areas and sponsors, we are out there looking for our money ourselves and generating money as a professional business. What to spend it on? That's administration, and the rest is spent across every aspect of tennis. And when you've only got a small pie to slice, and you slice it properly, you can still achieve an enormous amount. And I think the results we showed in the beginning shows what you can do with a very little amount of money. The way forward, Madam Chair, is we have a 20-year business plan, a strategy on how to build this business. It's measurable, it's got KPIs, we can show you those at any time. We have a marketing strategy that's in progress to show how we're going to generate revenue to meet that program. Transformation development plan, my honourable colleague Petros Abraham has put this document together recently. It's been drafted through the provincial structures, and a lot of work and a lot of things we have to do to get things right and to get more in line. We want to make tennis a popular sport. In the old days, that's what it was. It was popular to play tennis in the rural areas in the townships. There were a lot of tennis players in the old days. And they loved the sport, and they loved playing the sport, and we must get it back. Because that also takes sport off the street away from drugs. A healthy pub infrastructure? I'm not talking about in the suburbs. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in the rural areas. Clubs are important. That's where you start working at a community to achieve goals and achieve projects and plans. Shafka, to move, we need between 10 and 20 top players in top 500 men. And the reason for that is because they become idols and they become mentors and they help the kids and they play with the kids and they become these absolute idols. And we need that. We are respected players in the World Group of Badass Cup. The world respect us when we arrive. You know, Kevin Anderson is known as the Bananas King because the top players say whenever Kevin walks up to the court, you can slip and lose against him very easily because he's that good. And yet, he's still developing. That's what we're doing at the moment. If you look at our programs, Move It, Wheelchair Tennis, every single one of these programs, Madam Chair, is focused on a specific area. And the two that are really important to all of us is cardio tennis. It's like just get down to the gym and running up and down the treadmill, or I don't know about up and down, running on a treadmill, go down to the tennis court, use the ball, run around with professionals teaching you and getting your heart working at the right rate. Tennis Express is for our young guys that are just learning to play the game. There's a specific program called Tennis Express. The older you are, the better it is for you. And it works on also cardio training and how to start playing this game using soft, slow balls. If you have to continuously just pick up balls, you actually can learn to play this game very quickly and learn to rally and to play. Beach tennis, all these things are attractive to the youngsters as well because we want them there. I don't know if you know, they've been walking around with tattoos these days. I mean, I don't know where they get all the pain from it. And But we know that it attracts youngsters. So there are players on tennis circuit that wear tattoos. So it's obviously an area we need to maybe focus on. Objectives, Madam Chair, we need to reflect the stature of the global steps. We know, showed you the first slide, number 5 sport in the world. We're not near there, South Africa. Madam Chair, it's something we have to work through mass participation, and that's the only way we're going to achieve those goals. We need to move SA from the current 7th stage sport in South Africa, accelerate it up, and again, mass participation and development. We need to find ways to make the sport more affordable. The Honourable President was talking about it's an elite sport. We want to break that mould. That mould, tennis is a sport for everyone. Tennis is a sport that you can play forever. Tennis is a sport you can play with your kids. And we need to make that a household sport. We need to find to make it more affordable. How do we get rackets to people that need them? We need to introduce products that attract government spend and grants. Because we know government would like to do a lot more for all sports. We know that. We just need to make the projects and the products that we produce attractive to give government the right answers in their board picks. We need to focus on rural areas. Absolutely, Madam Chair, you made it quite clear. We are far from it, and I'll talk to that in the next section. Greater participation in Central Africa tournaments and IDEA affairs, because we are one of the founding members, and we need to be closer, and we need to involve government in those structures. So the hub. The only way, Madam Chair, because we are such a small federation, you can see in our office, we don't, including wheelchair, we don't have more than 20 people. The provinces, they don't have any employees. That's all volunteers. And in total, to try and get into all the different districts, the 52 districts, to get in there and to build the sport, it takes resources and it takes money. Obviously, we'd love to build jobs. However, we believe, and we've proven in KZN, a couple of years ago, we started a project where we got close to the Department of Education, and we got some funding from local government and also from government, and we started a program. We've had over 2,000 teachers trained in Bainster, in KZN. Now, see, what we still need to do in that sort of program is to teach them how to report, how to build from there, build a business or build a club, because we don't have the statistics of what that's achieved for us, and yet it's registered that we were able to achieve and teach those teachers. We need to get that program rolled up throughout the country. So government, the school structure is a very, very important structure, and if government, if the sports the ministry can help us get closer to the education ministry, that would help and help us put the sport into every school. The sport hubs in the townships, I go there often, and we try and find coaches, we try and find people that will help develop and create a club at the sports hub and attract the schools around the sports hub to come play tennis. Municipal facilities, those obviously is where it's a lot easier, that's the clubs in the suburbs, but even still, there are facilities standing open that we need to fill. I think of in Tshwane, there are many, many courts open. Tunnyside is an opportunity there for us to really build the capacity. Teachers, coaches, officials, teachers that become officials and coaches. If you watch the US Open or Wimbledon, we have black officials officiating at those grandstand tournaments. That is the capacity that we need to extend and build more on. And most importantly and lastly is creating jobs by introducing and showing them how to build a business using tennis as the conduit. Madam Chair, thank you for the opportunity, and I hope we have positioned and made you wiser on what our sport is, and we ask that anyone would like to ask us any questions between the President, myself, and the rest of the team, we welcome and we will answer them as best we can. That we cannot answer, we have committed to the Chair that you will get your answer within 2 weeks in writing from the president. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Let me take this opportunity to thank the delegation of Tennis South Africa, and I'm suspecting others will contribute when we do ask questions. Now, honourable members, this is the time to engage with the presentation. It's upon you. May I have hands, Honourable Abrahams, Honourable Manan, Honourable Mufu, Honourable Malatu, in that order. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and thank you, delegation. I can hear the session, I can feel it, I want to look in it. I was at Oprah Winfrey saying that when you wake up in the morning and you found your passion, then it doesn't become a job anymore because you live it, you work it and so on. And I want to compliment and say that doing it without faith, it means it is a passion now. My question is, how do we get the session back into our communities, and especially in the rural and areas and the townships? Because I remember myself as a kid, I can't play tennis, but I used to have a tennis ball and eat it all the time. Yes, and my other question is, obviously, Kevin Anderson is achieved it all, he's an excellent player. Why is it difficult to get sponsorship for you to come back into South Africa and actually, you know, be proud of South Africa and say, I am playing for my country? On wheelchair programs in the community, again, also, in which areas do you have these? Because I have seen it on TV, but I've never seen it in my own area within the township. And how can we promote this? I work with people with a disability, and I'm sure I could promote it in the township, in Soweto, and so on. Then, I like the idea of the tennis programs, the movies, the cardio tennis, especially for older people, the tennis express. All these programs, how do we revitalize and bring it back to the township so that we can all enjoy it with our children in the schools and so on? We've got tennis courts, like you said, and they are being utilized, you know, so we just start promoting and say, let's fix, let's play, and let's be healthier. Even if it's not really competitive, but the community to keep the kids out of drugs and so on. Here in hubs in South Africa, in the provinces, if they are the way are they, so we could start utilizing it. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. Akasha Small, Federation of Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to congratulate the Tennis of Africa to be in number 41 out of 122 in the whole world. So you are here for us to contribute. We are here for us to build each other. And we are here for us wherever that you are not reaching, especially the rural areas, although you've mentioned in your objective to achieve that you mentioned the rural areas. We are here for the rural areas as well, because we know exactly that the urban areas, they've done some of the things, especially the infrastructure is there. But in our rural areas, it's not there. Somebody can tell you that, no, I've seen it on the TV and all the rural areas. When you come, they said, oh, today it's tennis. Some, they've got no clue the tennis because they all see it on the TV. But immediately you take the tennis to our rural areas, it's where they're going to, so they will participate and they will have an interest. And even the government will come on board with Tennis SA or the provincial tennis so that they can assist wherever they have to. I've heard you were mentioning the district. You have mentioned especially the Gauteng one. I just want to find out which are those challenges that you have and which are those provinces are facing challenges for the district. Since I can see the transformation, you are trying, I can say, because I've seen this disabled and the race, but the tennis South Africa need to push the provincial tennis, because if you're doing it nationally and nothing is happening provincially, you will think that you got it, you are doing it, because you are doing it and maybe you can do everything on nationally, but if you don't oversee the provincial, nothing's going to happen, because it's where the community are, especially the rural areas. So I cannot touch on your objective, because you mentioned the focus that you're going to focus on the rural areas. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Manan. Honorable Mishu.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation. Yeah, for us, really, it's something good, because, you know, some of us
don't know anything about tennis. We, when we grew up, we would only hear it from the television. You know, with tennis television, you remember that as young boys, you know, tennis ball would be, you know, a ball that you start your soccer career with, not tennis. Yeah, but I want to check with the leadership of tennis that when you go in rural areas, you see a lot of facilities of tennis courts that are built there, and some, you know, built mainly in schools, and some sort of, you know, adjacent to each other. And when you look at them, are not fully utilized. And you just wonder, because some are just white elephants, they are just there. You just wonder what is actually happening, who actually built those facilities. Because you barely hear, you know, something taking place in such facilities, you know, tournaments, nothing. So, I just want to touch on it, and when we touch on it, speak also about the tennis in schools. I know that you mentioned something about it, but I just want you to even elaborate more about it. And then I hear your wish is to get the Minister of Sports getting closer to education department. I want to just advise that don't only rely to the Minister of Education, also write the Minister of Sports, also write to the Minister of Education, and you know, indicate your wish. And Chipson, I'm just again interested in knowing, when you in your closing remarks you said you want to build, you want to show people on how to build business using tennis as a country. I'm very much interested in this, because we are leaders, and we talk to youngsters about this thing. So if we made it the better, we would be able to convey it to youngsters. I'm lastly Chairperson, glad that they mentioned that they break, they received unqualified reports, but of recent, I'm not sure when you break even. But I want to believe that that's not the intention. The intention is to generate income, and I can see that you have sponsors, you are getting, which actually taking place, that you break even instead of, you know, income generation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mishin, Honorable Malachi, Honorable Bosman.
Thanks, my apologies for being late. I just have two points, because Honorable Mushi covered largely what I was going to inquire about. I just want to start by, you know, commending the work that TNCSA does, particularly with disabled students, and getting, you know, proper support in there, both from a developmental perspective, but also producing, you know, the right kind of capabilities. But I was slightly concerned during the presentation, you made reference to the fact that you've got the figure of the number of people playing teams, which is close to 500,000. But, you know, you've got no idea where they are, particularly because targeted intervention, you know, are very key to close the gaps where they are in. And it's almost difficult to have very targeted strategic interventions when you don't have a solid indication of, you know, where your market is. And that also speaks to what Honorable Mushi said about, you know, unused facilities and all of that. But I think, you know, the key in here, because mostly in poor communities, is that, you know, getting the equipment might be an issue, but if the facilities is there, you know, and there are proper coaching and talent nurturing structure in place, you know, that gives a young interested kid the incentive to participate in the sport. Because I think we need to move from an angle where it's played recreationally to where it's played to pursue a career in sport, you know, and not make tennis a hobby that, you know, out of the stroke of luck, it could be a career, because you need to inculcate that so that it becomes even more competitive than it is now, because it's one of those sporting codes that offer a lucrative career at the very peak of its success. So I think, you know, what you need to do is to invest more, and this also speaks to the point in liaising with the Department of Education and building those strategic relationships. And I think to add in that is you also need to liaise closely with both the provincial Department of Education and health and recreation, so that, you know, that investment is done in such a way that kids who do not have tenured community clubs are able to access that sport at school, but also get, you know, the proper coaching at school. Because the difficulty often is, you know, when facilities are available, you can use them, but then you lack the technical ability to be nurtured properly to compete at the very highest level, and which is why very few of those that are able to compete are able to even succeed to a greater state. But I think what is also key is, I didn't get a sense of, you know, what are your targeted interventions more so in addressing the gender gaps that are in there, both from, you know, a leadership perspective, but also from generation talent. And that's slightly different with disability, with disabled tennis, because that's where, you know, you've got, you know, your shining examples of excellence in there. But in the sport as an entirety, because I think it is one area that often gets ignored, given the history of this country, it's very important to address and have a very targeted interventions on that, so that when we address the shortcomings that are there, it forms part of the total package rather than seen as a bad option. And yeah, that is just my input. I mean, the investment on coaching is quite important for the talent out there, so that, you know, even from a younger age, you're exposed to the right technique, you know, and measure properly. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. And if I do get up and wander out, this is not feeling well, so it's just excuse me. you know, about, I think it was 5 years ago, my friend Waya Zondi was very excited about the SA Open in Soweto. And, you know, very proud, wanted everyone to come and see what was happening. And I remember I was working in East London with SAA, and we were talking about all these great sponsorships and how things are going. Now, you featured, you glanced over the SA Open. For me, I look, I often find that what brings people to sports is heroes. You know, when they see these great tennis players or soccer players or rugby players, they all want to be these rugby players and soccer players. And it's a pity, because you're naming such great people here with such great talent, and yet I've never heard of them. And the sad part is, maybe it's our problem and not your problem. But we should be aware of these, you know, all these talents and all their achievements, and we should be congratulating them. You know, as you say, one of the worst things that can happen is you see ETV images of our minister visiting everyone, and yet maybe there's some deserved tennis players that we could inform the minister to be doing the same thing then. Now, one of the challenges that we identified, Wire and I, was the case that, you know, often where there were tennis courts donated, Given 3 to 4 years, those tennis courts became unplayable. You know, the maintenance, the upkeep. What we were suggesting, and you touched on it again in your mini tennis, in trying to get kids just to hit the ball at ages 4 to 1. But is there a way of developing a rural startup where we don't necessarily need a nice tennis court that's really hard to maintain it, but if we can get something that is playable and pliable, we're not so pliable that it actually doesn't erode. Now, was it Escoc or SRSA that's working? They have the tender for, they've had this, only one company does it, but it's a multi-purpose court that cannot wear and tear. It's guaranteed for life. Using that type of surface, getting big business to come in and sponsor courts in the area of that surface, to try and just get children into the game. And then, of course, trying to, as I say, edify your talent to make Kevin Addison or whatever the other great names that were there, try and, you know, bolster their image in a way. Because even at the sports award, you'd be very hard-pressed to see any tennis being featured in the sports award. It's often just the soccer, cricket, rugby, you know, mainstream sports. And there again, somewhere along the line, I don't know why that communication between the departments is not, you know, is not clear and consistent.
Thank you, Honourable Gentlemen. Let me take this opportunity to thank Tennis South Africa to enlighten us. But in your presentation, President, you say tennis is an elite sport. And I want to check what does that mean. Does it mean that a talented poor girl and poor girl in Kukuletu or Kayelisa in or in a deep rural areas cannot participate because of socioeconomic conditions? That statement, I can't even know what were you meaning by saying that. And then when you say you have a federation in every region, is this in line with the geopolitical boundaries as per sport and recreation? Then I would love to support what Honourable Bergman just said, which rural data pack. As Washington as this committee, we are people and we are ladies and gentlemen that want to see every sport code to be in our rural areas. And we do understand that tennis is, as you are saying, sometimes the kit there is very expensive. But being that you have been in this, you know how to get sponsors yourselves. I don't know what can we do together as a committee and a good friends to, when we're coming back, to identify in two or three provinces in the rural areas that you must assist that these rural data tech that they must be there. Also, this committee once asked the sport trust that, as we are speaking, we have a multi-purpose ground in the rural areas of Bizarre. It's marvelous, even the courts are there. Maybe when we're together, starting today and until end of 5 years, let's propose and check what can you do for in rural areas. And maybe you must identify and come and report to the committee. And maybe the committee must interact with you in order that we must say that we've seen these things happening. We've seen sport trust that they went to Mbizana in a very poor area, that the courts they are there. So it's one of our contributions that we'd love that you must take our contribution and advice and check how can you intervene, make this committee feel that their rural areas are taken care even by your good friends. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Mamoso, thank you very much. So, thank you very much for the presentation. Quite impressive in the fact that there's quite a lot of an effort in transforming the sport, especially in the rural areas. I suppose I would like to see in your pie chart just how much expenditure you really give in the rural areas in transforming the sport. That would be a bit helpful to us. and also, just how much you have really spent in the rural areas so far. Again, our government is very, very interested in sports in our country as a continent. So I would like to find out, just for instance, how many tournaments or do you ever take in our response into an African continent, and if so, how many? That would be interesting.
Any other interest? Okay. Let's give our presenters
Thank you, Ante. Thank you very much for the questions. I think they're all exciting because it really tells us that what we presented today has sparked a lot of thought. So thank you very much to the committee. The passion into the communities, the way we address that can only be through the community. So we need to find, and that's why I try to focus on education, because in answering almost all questions, if we can get the children committed to the sport or wanting to play the sport, it's amazing how that affects the parents. They start getting together in the community and they themselves start playing the game. So if we can work through the children in the rural areas, every aspect and many of the questions that need to be answered are answered that way, in that if we can work through the education department into the rural areas, into the sports hubs, there's no doubt in my mind will change the perception and the people.
You wanted to go through the, I've got 29 questions. Many of them are sort of on the same theme as well. But
take your input and leave with all things that somebody must take it. Answer everything.
Yes.
And if you see that they are related, tell us.
Okay.
Why do you say so?
So the after all the compliments, everything, the first one is got, and we fully understand that how do we get this back into the rural areas. Now, we as a board know that is something that we absolutely need to do.
And then the other night must be off.
Okay, I'm going to read out the questions and then we all try and answer it. But I think maybe for all of us, maybe this is a good one to answer, and it's how do we get the passion into the rural areas. Now, we're very happy that the committee sees that we have this undone passion for the game. And we know, working with SASCOC, working with all government departments, SRSA and the rest, provincial government and local government, if we don't go into the poor areas, if we don't go into the rural areas, we will not get funding. So we fully understand we need to do it. Now, what we've done initially, because the facilities are in the urban areas, we bring the rural children into those areas because that's where they go to school. If I look at Cape Town, the inner city half in Gauteng, the inner city schools, that's where they come to. What we haven't done in great detail was to go out into rural areas. So the talk is going to speak about places in the rural areas where we actually have very, very good programs. We also have very, very good programs in Arthur Ashen's Away to and quite a few others. So I'm going to hand over maybe to Clark and Gavin to address the rural areas more formally. For Petrus, do you want to?
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson, for this time, and thank you to everyone for the questions. First, for my contribution towards fashion, I think that was a very good question, because it is true that what brought us to sport was fashion. If I can just share a little bit with you my experience, also from Kylie. So how I got into the sport was through a program that was sponsored at my primary school. And I'm a cricketer, tennis picked up at university. And I regretted that there was no tennis at my school, at primary school level. Not that I regret that I started for playing cricket. So one of the interventions that we at Commercial Africa wants to implement is really to help and assist schools with tennis programs. And as my colleague Riyad was saying, that we haven't actually embarked on those initiatives yet, but our transformation and development strategy talks to an implementation of an outreach program to communities in good rural areas. Starting last year in June, I went on visits to all the provinces, including rural communities, and I've seen for myself what the need is. Mentioned examples of Kizana. I went to King William's Town, Ginsbeck, and I saw the passion and the excitement of the little kids around tennis, and that highlighted to me that there are schools out there that are very keen, and when we do roll out the outreach programs, we'll be received and we'll be able to work with the school infrastructure. My colleague and vice president has also mentioned the fact that we need to include the children. We have to work through the teachers and as well as parents. Because often we have problems of kids dropping out, but that's because parents are not involved. So, yeah, that's my contribution to the question.
Any intake? The members, you want to do a follow-up? You know what? I do understand, and I do like transparency. When we are saying that you do have any outreach program, started last year, which means we are not yet there with your outreach program. Very soon we'll call you, because
seeming involvement of the rural areas. You are not yet started to engage. If you can, as can listen when you are saying that you bring rural children to urban, and that's what we don't want. We want that they must not come to urban areas. You must go for your good selves to ask them there in the rural areas. So, whilst we have identified and see the need, we need to implement your program. And as this committee, will be giving you maybe time frames that maybe by next year we must call you and you must present what you have done out of your outreach program. Because seemingly we have got a vision, but could you believe it's 21 years down the line? That's the problem that you are having. 21 years down the line, as this committee, we are getting to have a chance to engage with you. But we are appreciating that at least you have an idea, and the outreach, you are not here implementing it. We are encouraging you that let's work together. Let's try to prioritize this thing of the rural areas. As you heard myself on behalf of the committee saying that whenever these entities are coming, you are pleading with each and every one of themselves that we want to see within these 5 years a mark. What have you done? If we have not, we are not going to put you in jail, but we'll be persuading you. Can we together this committee to see how can we improve the lives of the rural people? Because this social cohesion, we cannot achieve it only in urban areas. People in rural areas, we did vote. They want the services. The services is including the social cohesion. In order that even this problem of xenophobia, with sport, you cannot get that. So I'm pleading that, I'm emphasizing that at least you're transparent. And if you have any problem and we want to give you that chance, that next time we need you to tell us how far have you gone. I've got honorable members, if you don't mind. I've got a young somebody who's coming from here in Cape Town who's interested in the tennis. Do you mind that I must give him to hear what he is saying? Because if you want to engage with the Tennis South Africa, won't hear what it is his problem. That's why I ask Mpumz to call him, that he must tell us, young as he is, what is his passionate about tennis. With your permission, can I give him, honorable members? Yeah. To you, I don't know your name. You will introduce yourself to the members and to the Tennis South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker, and thank you everyone for giving me this opportunity to speak. I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to hear Tennis South Africa what they're saying, their challenges and the work to achieve and so forth. My name is Dude Soka, I live in Kukuletu in 122. I grew up watching tennis on FAPT News. I think at the time it was the time when Serena and Vanessa Williams started to be very famous, so the FAPT News usually show us highlights of every game that they watch. So that gave an interest. And the challenge is when I saw them playing tennis on the news highlights, and when I go out of the street, I see no one playing tennis. It was always football, rugby, and other sports which I participated. I always loved sports. But I took initiative when tennis court was built in Justin Street in 1922, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. So I took a chance, and I usually used to play in the street without any tennis court. So I came a racket because my grandmama used to work for in a Starbucks house, like a house cleaner. So she used to put rackets and balls, so I used to take those rackets and take those balls and share in the street with the other guys and girls. So eventually if someone saw what you were doing and they saw that the government at that time, a little country like that time, between the tennis courts now earlier, the tennis courts were built. And so I personally took the initiative to just train and play on my own. So started to play. Until I met late Christian Zamba, told me trainers and coached me how to play and how to coach tennis. So from there, I started to play and I started to coach tennis at different times. I coach for a foundation. We're coaching around in Cape Town. Most of the schools we coach, I mean, 8 different schools here in Cape Town are promoting tennis. I coach at the Seaborn Tennis Club as well. And I saw that there's a need in the community for the game. And there was no one playing the game, no one knew about the game. So when I started to practice on my own in the tennis coach, he used to come. And started to call me coach and they wanted to take part in this. So I started that initiative 3 years ago, 2012, and started to coach a kid every day. So every time I come from coaching, I used to go to my community too, just volunteering to do that. So by doing that, I did that for the whole year, I did that for the next year, but I started in 2012, I went in 2013, then the rest of I opened up the club. Then the local newspaper saw me and they contacted me and they published me on Ghani and television. So people started to know me and started to give me a call because I told about tennis and I put my number there and people started to call and started to join the club. That's where the club started. So everyone just came in and called me and they said they want to learn tennis and they just want to play. So at that time I was working and I was well. Coaching tennis for free, my community, so I was doing the two. So I opened a club, tennis club, and I contacted Western Province that they should come in and help. Then we worked with the Western Province, they came in and helped, and we joined the league in 2013. We played the league, the Western Province League, played the whole year playing the league. We had players who went on to even participate in other tournaments, young players at the age of 11, 2013. I have pictures of them, they play in recent tournaments, they play in the Western Province League too. Then, at the league match, I met a guy who happened to know someone who works for Star, the Star Group. So they contacted me and get a sponsor of some brackets and Boston's there. And from that time, the whole South African knew about us because we appeared on the New Age newspaper. We appear on the Daily Star newspaper, including the local newspapers. You can even go to Now Tennis Academy Googler too. You can find us there on the national newspaper. We were considered an academy. It wasn't an idea, but because the sponsor saw that we have more than 50 kids, so the media kept us as an academy. So from there on, I was coaching. Until last year when I lost my job, I was very, very inspired to share the challenges of tennis and tennis and special sport. Because when I was working, I was mostly using my money to buy balls. I was mostly using my money to buy some of the rackets. So when I left Selma, I think that the vice president and admin means that the Western Province meetings, they start at 7 p.m. and they end around 10 p.m. or 9 p.m. So when I was working, I was able to hire a transport and my own money to attend meetings. So since last year when I lost my job, I couldn't necessarily go to the meetings anymore. So when I spoke to the Vice President, Riyad, just now, he mentioned that he doesn't know Google, he knows Langa and Kaisha. And it's worrying me because I understand what she said, because we haven't been attending meetings and I did engage his province that we don't attend meetings because there's no money now for me to hire transport and take us to the meetings. So, because the meetings start at 7 p.m. They start at 7 p.m. So there's no transport at the time for me to come there. Because I used to go in there, I used to ask, I mean, I'm an athlete trainer class to take me sometimes and they would take me halfway. I used to ask Mr. Mlota from Kalisha, I think that I have known Mr. Gomila Mlota from Kalisha. He is taking part there and there. So I started not to go to the meeting. So we started not to get any help from the province ever since then. But still continued to push the government very hard. The thing is that the kids are there and the kids are playing. You can go to Google at any time, especially on Wednesdays, especially on school holidays, you will find kids saying, Kenneth and I'm responsible, I'm coaching the club, we have a committee, we have a constitution, we have a vision, because we wanna promote Kenneth, I love the game. I play Kenneth, I love Kenneth, it's just my game. Thank you very much, Mr.
Okay, your surname?
Zorka.
Honorable members, if there are members who want to say something, but finally I'll give it to our visitors before I say something. Honorable Manana, Honorable Moshe.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, good day. I hope Chairperson is it's a sad story because he had a passion in the tennis. Unfortunately, his dream never came through because he's no more working and he used to assist with his pocket. A question that I want to ask Ludwe, did you ever try to engage the Department of Sport in this province? Okay, that's number one question. And I think the Chinese South Africa does have the presidency in all the provinces here at Chairperson. That's why I was insisting that the national must make sure that they are pushing the president provincially. Because if the president for each province was having the passion with the Chinese, this guy was supposed to meet with the president of tennis. I can make an example with my province. I'm from Mpumalanga. There is Johan Grayling. Johan, I don't think he does have any passion with tennis. What he knows is just to assist the even areas. He can just end up in a state area. Like Ludwig. He has the passion, and we need people like Ludo because he is from the rural areas of Western Cape, and it seems as if the tennis is only in town, and there is nothing happening there. I wish, Chairperson, maybe we can just hand over to the Tennis South Africa because they are here. They can just engage with Ludo so that they can introduce Ludo to the president of this province. Ludo, Chairperson, must be assisted. Because he had a passion, he's a youngster, and he can assist the other people. Because now those youngsters, they are out of court because they were doing this tennis. Now they have to go to court because they're gonna be drugged. I've seen on the newspaper that a Western Cape is at the age of 4 years. Now all those people who are participating in that tennis, they'll go back there. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Chair, Honorable Manana, about my
Honorable
Chair, let me just start off by congratulating you on your commitment, your efforts, and we obviously all sorry that the system seems to have let you and passion down. From my side, I'm wondering, he's lucky, he gets here, he gets in front of us. I'm not sure how that happened. But how do the rest of the youth that are in that very same position get in front of us as well? Because everyone's got a story to tell, and it's up to us to try and fix what's wrong. And I'm sure this isn't the only story. As much as it is a sad story, I don't think it's the only story. And as I say, you're very lucky to get in front of us, first time it's ever happened. For us, I'm not sure how it did. But somewhere along the line, how do we get everyone to come and keep the sad tales of woe, and we must face it.
Before, I don't know Ludo, and this is the first time that I've shown himself, and maybe if anyone is having any interest, how did he know that today we have this I'm suspecting that it can say that when I was in here out getting tea, I've heard by our secretary, you know, never saying that there is a boy here who's playing tennis and wanted to depart. But in reality is that as public representatives, whenever we're going out, we need, as we've studied, honorable members, you've seen what we've done in Limpopo, we need to have these sessions with the clubs, and that's one commitment that this committee is having. When we are doing our oversight, we don't do oversight with our counter MPs and MPLs and councillors. We always ask them that they must call all the rural club, and then we did get problems like this. For instance, we went to I want to remember honorable gentlemen, we went to Limpopo, where we discovered that out of so many clubs that there were in the municipality, three of the clubs of rugby, they stood up saying that we are playing rugby but we don't have anything, no beat. And this committee went there and delivered the keys, because we tried to fundraise, but we didn't go anywhere. We asked from the stakeholder, which is SARU, identified one person saying that, can you assist, who are from there? And as we were speaking, those two clubs, plus one of women, they did get a kid from Samaritans like you, tennis South Africa. That's the only thing that we can do, because we cannot, others, we cannot even come to Parliament. You are lucky because the Parliament is next to your area. So we are appreciating that whenever you feel to come to a committee, because there is a public document, and those who are in Western Cape, they will be benefiting, and would love to see more of young ones coming in each committee and presenting yourselves. It's appreciating that thing. With other provinces like Asian Cape, you can't fly, you can't even have money to take a bus here. When you are visiting, doing oversight, we always make sure that municipalities, they must call those clubs in order that we must hear their problems. I want to tell you, Tennis South Africa, that's what we are doing. And we're saying in this committee, we know that you have got your own budget. It's not for the sport budget. But we do sometimes appeal that if you can identify or talk to any of these members, and any of these members will say, we encourage them that they must talk to any of you to ask something like he did, not any brown envelope except the envelope to the rural areas. We've done that, we've started. Others, they were saying, why are you doing this? We know that we have got no budget for sport and recreation, but because we are human beings, because we are living with those people in the rural areas, we are feeling that anyone who's from this country is asking, don't be ashamed to assist. And it's not a secret, it's the role of members that out of their pocket and out of the interaction with each and any institution or whoever is coming there, it's got a right, and when it's delivering that, this or she is going to tell this committee. That's the only thing that we can do, because the committee doesn't have a budget, and sport and recreation does have a limited budget, and we don't want to go and ask permission to sport and recreation. But that's the only thing that we are thinking, that we do assist. Thank you, Lugwe, by coming, your story is like other stories. That's why we are saying this committee. 21 years down the line, no transformation. I'm saying, being a chairperson and I'm belonging to the rural, government, but I'm not ashamed to say that 21 years down the line, there's no transformation. And when I'm saying that, I'm not ashamed, but we need to assist each other, because e-sport has been not e-sport for those who have been not in parliament. You know, it's a camera parliament. And we were all starting afresh to try to check whether this sport can be in our rural areas. It's not going to be easy. And by saying that, I'm saying that people like Ludwe, there are so many in each province of ours. We're appreciating that you are doing this, hoping that Honorable Manal, this is your age, try to mentor him. Mentor him or any other young person who wants to mentor Uludo to wherever. I granting the permission that please take care of Uludo. When you are taking care of Uludo, I know that you don't have anything, but you would be knocking at some doors for Uludo. That's only thing that we can say, Tennis South Africa. We don't know what I'm going to say, your good friends. Thank you.
Madam Chair, thank you. Thank you very much. And Ludwig, I'm so pleased that he was here today. You've heard the plight of tennis South Africa. You've seen our limited budgets. You've seen a struggle for sponsorships. Madam Chair, that's exactly, I can take you, I know of at least 200 of such kids in just Gauteng that are working during the day and putting their own money. I can tell you they come to tournaments with their own car filled with kids, and the clubs give them records so that they can play. Madam Chair, when I spoke about our passion, how we get into the rural areas and how we do things, one of my colleagues here has been paying coaches for, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Abrams, but for at least 4 or 5 years out of his own pocket. He's been paying children's entry fees into tournaments out of his own pocket. We understand that exactly where he is, and it's not acceptable. We know it's not acceptable. If I may, Madam Chair, is propose that somehow we put a project together, call it what we like, a project together where we address this with urgency, using every contact we had in business to generate the funds to be able to improve that situation and to eradicate South Africa of that situation. Madam Chair.
On my side, I also do serve in Western Province. I'm the executive of Western Province, and I'm also president of Western Cape Tennis. Now, we have 4 hubs in Western Cape. We have one in Fishhoek, we have one in Mitchellstein, and we have it in Khayelitsha, as well as in Lambda. I gave Ludwig my card. We will put one in Guguletu as well. We have a fairly good development program. We've put him through a play and stay course, and I've just said to him earlier today he must come to become a level 1 coach, because play and stay is entry level, but with what he's doing on the bigger court, he needs to go via the level 1 course. We do those 3 and if you have charge for all the development players that we do sponsor. At the moment, we apply to lots of funding. We have funding to build a clubhouse and train coaches in Bonteville. As soon as that is completed, we have the money to do one in Langa as well. I explained to him that Lotto did not give us money for Guguletu, but we do have capacity building money, which will mean we can pay for a coach to be in Guguletu. He has spoken to Rajin, which is our development officer, and I must find out why he fell under the radar for last year, because we didn't know, well, I wasn't aware that he lost his job, because when we had Guguletu playing in the league, it was excellent. We need to get them back, and in that way, he's got to also let us know, and I agree with your colleague here, which said, contact the president, contact the vice president, because when he lost his job, he should have let us know immediately as well. I know that sometimes people feel embarrassed to say, you know, I've lost my job, don't have money to go to meeting. But he just contacted us and told us that we would definitely have done something about it. I certainly gave him my call, he must contact us. There's no reason why we can't have a fifth club in Western Province immediately. So we will do that. I know with the club, we don't charge them anything within Western Province or development hubs. And when they pay league, we give them all their balls and they don't pay any interest fee. So we are doing quite a lot for the hubs
competitive within Western Province and Western Cape. I know with Gordon they take all the people from Kalicha to buy a bus through to slam tennis courts or higher performance tennis, and of course in Kalicha there are four different sets of courts where the guys do local. But we, as you say, I personally haven't done Guguletu, but he has spoken to Razin, which is our development officer, and I'll make sure that we get him into full-time employment.
Honourable members, we've had performance of staying in Western Cape, we are the setter for this committee, trying to check that load whatever is here today. It's been monitored by your coach.
Yes.
There is a young honourable member there. Honourable member.
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to make a proposal that, particularly with regard to equipment, maybe we should be a submission to the sports class for assistance with regards to equipment, because it's a resource that's there, so that we remove that obstacle of a lack of, you know, rackets and gear and tennis balls that they might need, so that they have it regularly, and you know that can be done from here. But I also think that sometimes the concept of lack of funding is presented as an obstacle when it's actually not necessarily an obstacle. It's how you explore using it optimally, you know, because I mean, it's about having targeted programs, and that's why earlier on I made that point that if you don't know where these people are that play the sport, it is difficult to have sector-based intervention that we have made sure that talents like this doesn't get discouraged by the frustration with the system and falls back, and it's only outliers that keep pushing. But somebody else could have given up if there was no resolution of this. And I think, you know, it's a matter of making optimal use of the resources that are there in this case. And in this case, the sports trust is one avenue that can assist with regards to the provision of tennis playing equipment.
I did hear the response from the tennis office for telling us about 200 kids like this. I'd love what one other day you can tell us when you get these stories and these people, what is your conclusion? Not to know that there is a problem, but if you are promoting transformation, I've told you that your budget is your budget. But if we all want to see the rural areas having something, one other day, we love to say that when we are with us, that we are assisted out of those 200 problems that they did come to our office. We cannot force you, because you have sometimes concerns of the budget, but it's just a commitment that out of your sponsors, that you know why you ask sponsors for your own development. But if you do come across such situation, would love to hear from you, like maybe you as well committed what they're going to do. You know what? To have tennis balls, to have rackets, I know that is so expensive, but how much more to somebody like Lude that cannot even apply or do whatever. We're hoping for the best to somebody who's going to listen and take care. And as Honorable Malata is saying, sometimes I've noticed that what we're trying to do, other people that get irritated by what we are doing when we are knocking to their doors. They are thinking that we are taking role of other people in the field, but we persuade those who don't feel offended when we are doing that. We can't sit and not to try whatever we can do. For instance, sometimes some of us as human beings, when during the holidays, you go to your house, you take all your shoes, you take everything that you are no longer using, but in a good conscience, and donate. I'm suspecting that we must try to have that culture, but I know these clubs and whatever, they are professionals. What sometimes we are doing is out of humanity. But I can't not understand that our youth who are not working can't even have a sponsor of balls and cricket, even if the field is not yet there. But we'll try to implement whatever proposal is coming with the committee. Sport Trust, they do have their own program. Some programs are given by each department. And then sometimes, you know, we come and, you know, one letter that it come to us, but we persuade our oversight, rather, people saying that, you know, we don't have enough, rather not to ask. With those words, you must come closer to Ulude. Do you know Ulude? Do you know the area where he's staying? You must take the contact from himself in order that this committee will ask you how far are you with him. The entire world has been depending on the Ulude and Pumalanga, and he never lost it. With those words, let me take this opportunity to thank you. I know these days, people when they are thinking to come to sport, they are thinking that they are going to other animals. People they don't like, they don't come here without fearing. Once chat out some Just Cook members, that think they were thinking that you were just naughty. If you are coming this committee without preparing, without giving us documents in time, without you not presenting anything, with your respect, we'll be saying that please come next time. And sometimes they do feel very bad, but when they did come on the second time and you get the good products, they will be saying that, hey, really, we did come to the committee without preparing. What just human beings, but want to transform the country, especially sport, we are not yet there. With those words, we're happy about your presentation. We did get it last week, and through your responses, together we can do more. Thank you. Honourable members, let's get to the second agenda item in the agenda. We are releasing you. Okay. So, Honourable members, on the agenda, the Committee on Sport and Recreation draft report on follow-up oversight visit in Bombo. Where is that report? Is it? Everybody having it. Honourable members, I forgot to make an apology for Utebuho. Utebuho has been asked to go and interpret the human visit.
he knows Ethiopian language, so he's not with us. He's doing interpretation. Yeah. And he shows this language. Did you read the report, honorable members? Are you happy about it? Anything that you want to correct, because tomorrow I'll be issuing a statement on behalf of the committee for the... Oh, it's initial one, not this one.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a follow-up visit. No, 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 it's a mistake, because tomorrow I'll be issuing a statement for the first visit, not for this. And on that statement, I'll just look at the problems and the recommendation of the committee. Yeah, it's going to be a 5-minute statement. I don't think that there's anything that can report outside the report that we had. Anything that you want to say about it, or anyone wants to propose that we must adopt our report, that is the true reflection of the follow-up visit. Honorable Strike.
No, I can move. I just worried that whether members have seen it, but I can move that we adopt it.
Any stakeholder?
Thank you, sir. I support the move of the version of the agenda, of the report.
I was not going to say anything because I was not part. Last time I've seen members arguing with me, that when we are not part of the minutes and of the previous minutes, we wanted to make an issue and correcting even today. If you are not part of a visit, we have nothing to say. If you are not part of the meeting, we have nothing to say. I'm re-emphasizing. That's the standard and the norm of the committee. Even in the political party, you know that you cannot engage in a meeting that you were not there. The report has been supported, and then thank you, honorable members. We did read the report, especially those of us who were not part of the follow-up visit. So it's a good report. And then the committee program for 2015-10. Sune, can you take us through? Except that members, things in the program of Parliament are changing every now and then. We have shut down as in management, and we finalize the program to present. We didn't present it because there were some changes, but the further changes, we did get it. You know, the programming of the Parliament, sometimes some other visitors, they will not get to Parliament whilst they are already in Johannesburg because of the program of Parliament. I've heard Usune will take us through that. According to our oversight, there is a memo that now the House Chairperson will be wanting all chairpersons and the majority of our visits to do oversight have been cut off. So, Honorable Sune will talk to the program, and then we'll be listening.
The okay, person, thank you. Yes, there were significant cuts to what we could fit in before. I will, after I've taken the committee to the entire program, the recent summarized program, I have one or two proposals if you would like to hear them. Right now the committee has
times of the committee's overstaff period is from 21 July to 23 September, no, to 31 July. However, the second week of that oversight slash committee's period, most chairpersons are, or chairpersons have a compulsory workshop. The first week is 21 to 24 July. The 20th is a constituency day. So that 21 to 24 July has been set aside for committee oversight. The second week, I think one could discuss. The 4th of August is the first of when Parliament's normal activities, as we know it, starts again. Or in the week of the 4th of August, that's Tuesday. So the committees will recognize most of what it's asked to happen in this list of meetings. The first one is the Cooperative Governance Department and Department of Human Settlement on the Urban Settlement Development Grant, the discussion about that. The next committee meeting, we have scheduled lottery. Because they could not come the previous, the committee could not meet in the previous term, this term. Then on the 18th of August, Basketball South Africa, which has also been, I think, postponed from before. The 25th of August, Department of Basic Education and the Department of Sport, about what the school sport position and operation. The 1st of September, that's when the committee is starting its engagement with the department about its report and the audit report presentation and briefing. And then the committee meeting, the next one, is to have to deal with a petition that has been referred to the committee from before. And because the committee has to report on it. However way, the committee must just acknowledge that there has been such a thing. This meeting we are thinking of sharing something else because our Commission on Gender Equality meeting is hanging. So we're thinking of these two positions we've got to go. The 15th of September is for, as scheduled for the University Sport of South Africa entity. And because this committee has never seen them. And then the last meeting is for Hockey South Africa. We are, there is a bit of leeway there also. But yes, at the moment this is the main framework of the committee's program. There's one or two things that I would like to suggest. Because the committee will still have to possibly will get finalization on the Sazeria outcomes of the vetting for the shortlisting, so then the committee might expect a few extra meetings to finalize that matter.
Thank you. I'm suspecting that cause that report of in vetting is with me in the office, so that the management committee must try to check and in our program is not in here. We sit and agree upon the date. The vetting process has been finished, and we'll take to the committee in order that when we're taken to the committee, we must take those tentative days of doing the interviews. Honorable members, this is a proposed program for this quarter, and from 21st July to 28th September. Any intake?
Thanks. I just have a suggestion for Sanity that on the 15th of September, when we meet with Universities of South Africa, that we should consider adding USASA or the board that's responsible for school sports, so that, you know, we can tackle with issues, lack of collaboration there, if there isn't, how to better leverage those two, given that we've been pushing the idea of school sports, and I see that there's that meeting on the 25th, but there's also a body that deals, an association that deals entirely with school sports, and I think if I'm right, it's still USASA, and that body is quite key for that discussion with university sports, because sometimes there isn't sufficient collaboration between bodies in the same field, and I think it will be useful for the portfolio committee to get input from both, given taking consideration that I think sometimes, you know, when we manage our time better, it is possible to do two meetings at once. Sometimes it can be tricky, but I'd suggest that we consider ourselves for this meeting with university sports of South Africa for the 15th.
I'm worried about that day. It's University Sport of South Africa briefing on the strategic plan, governance, transformation and development. Is it not too much that we can add another entity? You do understand that it's going to be the first time, and if you look at the involvement of things that we want, Honourable Members, this is a proposal from Honourable Member. My feeling is that, you know, the way that we're doing and taking time and your questions are not just ordinary questions and follow-ups. So I don't know, can we keep this to the management committee, honorable members, checking whether we cannot put it up? No, I'm saying that this is very important what Honorable Malata is saying, but my problem is that this committee meeting, what we need a briefing, a strategy plan, a governance, a transformation development. I'm thinking that it's going to take us almost our time until 1 o'clock. I don't know, but I'm saying that it is very important. And can we,
no, sir, I think we need, if the committee agrees that we need to invite issues, I think we can afford them their own opportunity. So after having also invited the university sports, so if there is a need, because we need to hear what sports are going to, what the university sports is going to say, and you start. So if we think there is a gap that needs to be closed, we can always arrange the other way around, rather than to say, if you want to, when we bring in a seat, we need to bring someone else, because they will, each one will be bringing their own way, so we need to be listening to both of them differently. And if I heard Sune very well, I'm not sure, I thought she was saying she has got some suggestions to make. If that is the case, I would then suggest that she be allowed to make those suggestions, so that we are able to look into this program with those suggestions as well. Thank you.
I think some of the issues have been covered by Honorable Mavisa, because the University Sport of South Africa is a controlling body of all sports played at the tertiary level. And if we bring this to, it's gonna, I think I'm covered, I can say so.
Except what Usune wanted to brief us without consulting me. Honourable members, a problem is done by e-management. E-management is Sunel, the content advisor, and those research. sometimes if we are bringing new things in the college, we see us very clumsy. Because when I'm Gifa, it was sooner, or when we see us that we are clumsy, but seemingly what he's proposing, I don't think that it's an issue. We can listen. I'm giving her that chance, but in future, I don't want surprise in the committee, because we do have management. But what he's trying to tell me, I'm suspecting we can handle it. Let him know.
We can't plan that the chair person won't be there and schedule. I mean, if we know that the chair person won't be there, I don't think it's correct to schedule a committee meeting. I don't think it's correct, really.
That's what I wanted to highlight, saying that you have agreed that we must sit in the management committee. And the management committee did sit, and we're looking at the changes by e-house chairperson, and we've agreed to something. So this change that he wanted to present is going to be a problem and an embarrassment in my office, that when I'm saying we didn't discuss, because he did say an honor of Malika was trying to do a follow-up, but I'm worried about a follow-up that I'm not even aware what it is that she wanted to suggest. Also, I do have advice that he was not taking through. With that, Honorable Malika, let's engage on what it has been presented, that both in management have discussed it. Except that I wanted himself to talk about that week, that 21st July to 21st, where are we going and how. It's going to be Sune, Jebu, and Nunneba. That's the thing that I can allow. Because this thing of the problem is changing for man every day. We're happy that we can take three provinces, but because of a week that's taken by the house chairperson, we're no longer going to do that. Are you ready, Jebu? Or Nunneba? Or Sune? Yes. Honourable members, it took us by surprise that the oversight has been cut, not only to this committee, to every committee. Some have just decided even not to take it. With us, we said initially we were thinking that we'll be going to Gauteng, Northwest, Eastern Cape, or Western Cape. We've said, can't we prioritize that Nelson Mandela according to the problem of sport, that there's an area called in northern areas where drugs arrive. And we've said, can't we propose those, is it 2 days or 3 days, 4 days, that we must meet with the mayor and mayoral committee and MMCs that are responsible for a social cluster, especially with sport. And we've said from there, there is a problem of boxing is in that area, and they always write letters and refer them backwards. So if we can hear from the horse's mouth that what is it that is going on, and this problem of drugs and the problem of sport clubs there. So the usual problem that when we are going to visit province that we must do, and we've said and we're saying that we wanted to engage in legislation, but with that, it will only confirm if they are not doing anything, because we wanted MEC for local government, MEC for local government, sport, or education, to come and present. If it's not themselves, the committees, but you accept the committees is not always easy to come. Maybe the heads of which department must come and report to us. That's the thing. I've seen the hand from Honorable Bergman.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned boxing. Look, I remember the minister during the EPC announced that boxing would be televised on, I think it was the 5th of June, which clearly didn't take place. But then he had a launch, which I don't know if we got an invitation to or not. We weren't there. And then the DAF is supposed to take place on the 26th of June in Gauteng. So that in itself could possibly be a good oversight for those of us that are in Gauteng to... But she's inaugural boxing tournament. I think Gauteng is sponsoring it. I've asked the question to find out, but I think it's Gauteng that might be sponsoring it. That could be, you know, I'm just thinking of cheap options where we're already there. I know that Sescott said for the Commonwealth Games that they're having it in July. No, not the Salvador one, even in July in Durban that they were having those drinks. I am going to be in Durban, so if it happens when I'm there, I would happily try to be part of the committee that does this. But what I'm just trying to get at is where we can cut budget. If something's happening where we live, then maybe we can, I think the work one said that we should feel comfortable to split up to make up the numbers, so to speak.
Honourable members, there is this proposal, and maybe during this research, and we do have other invitation, and what we are telling us, I was not aware about this thing of boxing South Africa, which is important. Initially, other members had jumped the gun. They were thinking that the minister was not going to fulfill that. I was happy when I've seen it happening in the TV. I was not aware, but I was very happy that what he pronounced but changed just the date it's happening. So if Eastern Cape, Gauteng, and this thing of Sasquatch, I don't know whether we were talking about the same thing, that this Sasquatch swelled the national conference. It's not.
No, this one is the Commonwealth Games. The Commonwealth delegation.
The one that is on in July. Yes, they did tell us. Yes.
At the
program,
she should get support as well.
Yeah, they is.
That's one.
Okay, just that I'm not sure where we are because Honorable Bergman.
We were in the events of the committee, but as Honorable Bergman was raising, he was adding on the proposal of the oversight to Nelson Mandela, and he was saying that can't we split our delegation, that some they must attend the Gauteng inauguration of e-boxing, and then we are keeping in to see on the events that are there. For instance, when we presented our program with chairperson, he suggested that sometimes we need not to go as the full committee to cut e-calls, but where it is necessary, we need to go as a fully-fledged committee. So that proposal is covering what the House Chairperson said to us. So anyone who wants to change, let's talk about the oversight or on Nelson Mandela, how the Commonwealth program is not yet with us. The one which is with us is the Australia National Conference. Yes, sir.
No, okay. I was saying because the date because at the moment the date that is okay for us is between the 23rd and the 24th of July. That is the date that is open for us to get to oversight. And the other days that Honorable Bergman was raising are outside of that, and that is why I was a little bit confused that how we are going to do that. We can only do that if individually we got that principle that individually, depending on where we are, we can then go to some of these places. But the question that we must ask ourselves whether that is going to be agreeable, that we can utilize the committee funds individually, depending on where we are. So that is the point that I was making, because if we say as a committee, we are doing oversight, it will be as a committee. But sometimes we can have a principle that depending on where we are as individual members, do some kind of oversight that the individual can then make a report to the committee, so that we are tied in the way we are doing things. So that is why I was raising.
Thank you, but it's precious. We are right that let's finalize the 21st to the 24th. You want to say something?
Thank you, Chair. Based on the suggestion that you have put before the committee regarding the oversight period of the 21st to the 24th, with the inclusion of the leg of Eastern Cape, I'm not sure if we, if that would be the order, that we cover in that week at least two provinces where possible. If we start in the Eastern Cape, perhaps the following day after completion, go to Gauteng or either Northwest, but because of logistical and transport arrangements and the time that will be finished, Northwest might not be feasible, because then it would mean that we'll end up in Gauteng, so that we sleep in Gauteng the following day, start 2 days in Gauteng, 2 days in the Eastern Cape.
Can we entertain that another member?
Thanks, sir. I'm not in agreement with what Tabora is suggesting, because logistically it makes sense, because in any event, wherever we're going, we'll have to connect in Joburg. So it might just be better to leverage the fact that we'll be connecting there to do whatever business we would have identified that needs to be done in Joburg.
Okay, I'm suspecting that you are leaving it to the planners, and I'm suspecting that the oversight is the whole committee. In the one of individuals attending, we need firstly to be cautioned, what do we want to achieve, and what we want to minimize the budget. Let's talk about the invitation. If we are not yet invited for this 26th of Gauteng, honorable member, they can go on their own. But if we are invited, we process. I'm suspecting that's the principle, honorable Bergman. We are not yet having an invitation for this thing of e-boxing. Like last time, I didn't get from my office. I saw it in the TV. We're not invited for that day. I've seen it as well attended. I've seen it in some countries that they were writing letters to us. They were there. We're not invited. And even this one, we're not yet having anything, honorable Bergman, but if something is in your province, we are a member of the committee, you just indicate to the staff of department that honorable Manana will attend as individually committee member if we are not invited. I don't think there's nothing wrong on that. We are not yet having an invitation on that on the 26th of
this.
We're not yet invited, so I don't have anything to say if we're not invited. Because even for the soccer, we did get invitation on the last minute. When I arrived in Cape Town on Monday, I discovered that there is invitation for members to attend. I've tried that, it must be communicated immediately. So sometimes they've forgotten us when they're remembering us on the last minute. I've asked the office to communicate and try to get the members, but I'm suspecting it was very late. Members couldn't get, but there are those who did attend. It was lucky with me because I was having something in Cape Town as a deployee here. I had to come back, and immediately I got by my deputy chairperson, Chinese, saying, "Chairperson, we've been invited." I was not even aware. I've started to do a follow up and discovered that all the members were invited. And thanks to those who were around Cape Town that they attended. And I spoke to the person of ISOC that we usually not have that opportunity to be invited by ISOC. Do it in time. Thank you, honorable members. The other action, Mr. Fesh.
No, I think it's exception is done. I just have one little issue that I want to raise with the and the committee. Exception is done. No. Thank you, Chairperson, for giving me the opportunity. I'm just worried, Chairperson, that we are a portfolio committee, and at some instances, people come to the committee seeking help that the committee should help them. And I'm thinking here the issue on the issue of Njongefana. I know for a fact that it came before the committee. It was introduced, and I remember that a certain Dr. Singh in the department was given the task of ensuring that Njongefana, you know, gets paid, and he had lost the belt then. But I don't remember how that was usually solved, you know, or resolved. And I'm just thinking, I heard some rumors, you know, that even after that, Njongefana, you know, managed to get maybe two more fights. And he suffered the same fate because those who promoted the fight have not paid him for the two fights that he fought after he lost the belt. Now the second part of it is that, you know, he's a boxer, must make a living out of it, and then had just recently lost a father, you know, did not have anything to bury his father with. And I'm just, you know, appealing to this committee to do something about this, especially for those promoters who cannot, you know, pay usual expert books. I know that you spoke about that previously, but I just want to raise that thing. Thank you very much.
Of course, I'm allowed to now speaking as he's talking on this event. Can we serve and talk about it at the end? I was still on invitation, so we'll come back to it. There is this honorable member, Shoga National Conference, is on 10 to 11 in Mangaung. They will invite you, honorable Chairperson Milan, to the conference together with your committee members.
Thank you, Chair. First, let me say that it will be important for oversight, successful as soon as members leave, that we know who will be traveling from where, so that we make arrangements as per that. I think it will be very important for logistical arrangement on our side. Secondly, is that it's possible that most members will be traveling on a Monday on the constituency day, be it in the morning, depending on the availability of flights on the day. I just want to take it that before I respond to your letter. The invite of ASCOC was that they had indicated at the time that they were here for presentation on the Commonwealth, when they also issued the schedule of the Commonwealth inspection date. So those are the two invites that were sent to the committee, but formally that has been brought to the committee, this one of the FALGA and SASCOC, including FRSA, which will be held in Bloemfontein. Now, the main focus there is on trying to find ways of how to use the infrastructure allocation of the MIG, maximize that municipalities can benefit spot. So it's very crucial. The only challenge of it is that it's taking place during constituency period where members would have to seek political approval from their respective groups. But it would be very important if the committee would attend that particular conference. So I would advise and encourage that if the committee so wills that we apply for that invite. It's in line with the mandate of our current oversight focus area, which number one focuses on the alignment of the national sports and education plans, the provincial plan versus the national plan, but also the inspection around what are the facility plans, the state of facilities in different provinces. So this would assist us to have an overview of how aligned those programs are. So I would report that we the committee applies for tender for that. Yes.
Can we allow that the committee must apply? When the committee is applying, we'll be having the indication of the different chief whips whether they do allow. We should then, because on the constituency days, these days, our parties don't want us to touch any day, but correctly so, this is about the part of our work that has been having interest to hear what Ufalga is saying, especially together with ASCOC and the department. I'm suspecting we do allow that the application start going on tomorrow in order that we must know our plans from different political parties. Is it in order, Minister? Okay. According to the committee program and this thing we've done with the point 2 and then point 2-1. And now 1-2 and Honourable members, we have agreed on this program as it proposed.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to consideration of minutes. It's point number 3. Members, the minutes of the 9th June Let's go to page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Honorable Manuel.
I'm on page 5, number 13, it's not a correction, yeah, but about problem is 3 and 2 transport and distance for access in Bombela area, not in Mifflin area, in Bombela area, who could not train unless they travel to Mifflin. I have to remove the Mifflin and put in Bombela.
I want to correct in page 7. I don't remember myself saying Mrs. Gulani clarified that there would be no difficulty. Mrs. Gulani clarified that there would be no difficulty in calling the minister first and calling Shafa and the LOC organizing committee after meeting with the minister. Where we advised that, where are we going to get a local organization committee on OC? I didn't say this. The second part is mispresenting me. It's wrong. I'm correcting this.
I don't have a specific page, but my worry is that what you raised earlier on about the participation of a member on the minutes who was a part of the previous meeting was not captured here. Whereas I still maintain that a member cannot participate in the adoption part of the minutes because the member was not there. But I still maintain that a member can raise a matter which is on the minutes when he's present on the minutes. I mean on the meeting. But it's not captured here.
Honourable members, it is not captured, it must captured on both discussion. I'm still maintaining that in any meeting that you are not part of it, what are you going to raise because you are not part of the discussion? So you just came and you want to discuss a matter that you were not part of it was discussed, and you were absent. Be absent is an absent. You can't be absent and then it discusses on. You feel like now you are present. I'm still maintaining also that it's not captured correctly, but I'm still maintaining that it's not in order, and we have not been practicing that. Somebody who was not in the meeting and when minutes is discussed has a right to discuss the minutes of the meeting which he or she was absent, and I'm suspecting even logically it can't be correct. Because you don't have any interest of a meeting that you are not part, you were not part of engagement, and you understand what was engagement on that. I'm still maintaining that, but I'm appreciating that you have seen that it is not put on the minute. Honorable Mali.
I don't know, but I think tell you you are in order. I feel that we cannot be when we went out of the minutes. All of a sudden, people are not part of the meeting. We think we have to come in and change the whole complexion of the meetings, you know, because really they would want to know certain things that were discussed that they were not part of. Yeah, so I think same in order. I don't know.
I don't know, but I believe we need to prove this in a way. We cannot just say we believe. We should, if it's written somewhere, we need to bring that. So that if it's the rule, we need to have that rule. Because I believe that when, as a member of the committee, you are interested in what the committee did, even if you were not there. Because when you raise the matter, it's not that you want to start the matter afresh, but it's a question of following up. If the committee decided this when I was not there, how far has the decision been taken forward? That is why I am saying, rather than to argue as if we are sure whether that is a correct practice, we need to bring forward the rule. Because you will find that this rule is applying here. But with other committees, you are allowed to raise matters even when you are not there.
Honorable members, I'll leave all the hands, but anyone who's saying that he has got a proof must come with it. But I'm still maintaining that there's nothing like that. That is really a political meeting, let alone in a committee meeting. If you were present, you have noted absent, and then those who were present, they must even know why did you come to this decision. Not some board who was not in the meeting. If it's like that, and if we are arguing about that, we need that proof. Who's thinking that it can come with the proof? We must do so. Honorable Bachman, Honorable Manana, Honorable Malachi, Honorable Rahom, Honorable Abraham.
Just so we're clear, you've made two reasons. One was that one cannot, if they went to the meeting, approve minutes or correct minutes. That I agree with. The second part of it, whether the debate is around, is whether a member can participate in the matters arising from minutes. I don't have proof, but I did consult people from other committees and my whip, and they said that you can ask questions, you cannot vote or pass a resolution on the minutes, but you can ask questions on the matters arising minutes. But there's nothing in writing per se, but that is outlined in the other committees that I've consulted.
Honorable Manana.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think this is a good committee and we are working as a collective. But if we're going to change, because if I raise a question, or maybe I've got some other issues that I want to raise in those minutes, of course we are changing those minutes. It's not a true reflection, because we need to change them, because everything is captured. And even if we can just listen to the handouts, what they have said, of which once you take a resolution in our minutes, and you come tomorrow, you are not in that meeting. We have to change, because you are not in the meeting. You have to raise some other issues that are different to those minutes. You have to change even that resolution. You have to cancel it. I don't understand if we have to participate. We can participate because we are sitting here, but to raise some other issues that we have taken a resolution on that, then you have to change it because you are not in the meeting. I don't know how to report this.
Thanks, Chair. I think the issue here is not on the issue of changing the minute and adoption, but I think is there scope for member to ask or inquire on the minutes if there's an issue for clarity by the committee? Because I think it's clear, and I think Barakman articulated the first part, that if you're not present, you can't amend minutes or move for their adoption. But we need to find clarity as to what kind of contribution or input can one make. Can one ask for clarity if they were not part of a meeting on an issue? And I think the other part is what happens when an item was dealt with in the absence of a member who at the beginning of the meeting was around, because that is also another thing, because I just think we need clarity for all of ourselves so that we can always hear where input can be made and what kind of input. Thank you.
I don't know. But I think, Chairperson, we are trying to help each other here. And you know, when we debate, we should not debate just the way as others can think or can know certain things that others know them. You know, when a person says, I believe, you know, it should not be like he's somehow not thinking properly. Because someone believes things that has for a rule that he knows. And I'm saying, Chairperson, I want to agree with you. If a person does not want to believe and has got a proof, has got a rule that backs up what he says, must bring it here and stop accusing, you know, what we believe in. But I'm saying, Chairperson, I want to reiterate that really you can ask certain things. But when we discuss matters arising of the minutes which you're not part of, please, oh hallelujah, don't. You know, because this is the reality. You know, what transpired last week was on matters arising and really which we could not be held at ransom by people who were not part of the previous meeting. Unfortunately, that's how it should be. And thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I partly covered, I think I agree with the previous speaker. I think you haven't been present then, where you can participate is in typographic errors, because that is like if you read and it's spelled wrong, you can assist in that, because you haven't been part of the correct context of the minutes. But you can't participate because maybe in the previous minutes, what is in the minutes now, was said. So how do you participate? Automatically it would lead to a change, and then the minutes would be out of order. Thank you.
Before Honourable Sahom, why must we have a register to mark present and absent? Anyone who still wants to take, they must tell, must have the chairperson, why must have a register in the committee to say present and absent, and also absent want to entertain matters arising whilst you are not part of the discussion, you just want to engage yourself in a matter arising.
No, Chair, it's just that we sometimes become troubled by members that do not attend consistently our meetings. And the context of the last meeting is of concern to me in particular. But because of what was happening in the last meeting, which was tense with media all over the place, that the chairperson had to become firm. And I think members agree with the chairperson that once you are not present, you can't want to change decisions that have been taken in the previous meeting. And that is standard, really. You can't want to change. So, and it's most unfortunate that we want to go back to the last meeting, because it has never been a problem that the members, we know there are minority parties that do not have capacity to can attend all meetings, and the chairs never but any member to genuinely ask for clarity on any matter. The issue will always become a problem if you want to review a decision that has been taken when we were not present in that meeting. And that is why I'm saying I'm not sure what is the problem here, because that is how things are done.
Chair, I think instead of us, as Honourable Manana said, you know, we all enjoy a pretty good relationship here, and I think we've done for a year. We've been gelled as a committee. Let's take it out of our hands. As I requested last week, let's refer it to the Rules Committee and let's get a proper answer. Let's get a clear answer on this. Because no one's had a problem with how you chaired the meeting at all, ever. It's really just a case of how can we make sure we're doing right by everyone. We don't have a situation where we've made a ruling that's actually contrary to anything that's existed at this stage.
Who's going to take it to the Rules Committee? Because I'm certain that you are correct, that somebody who was absent in a meeting, he doesn't have to contribute in the matters arising of the committee that he or she was not present. Must I go to the Rules Committee? Anything that is standard is there, or do you want that this committee must go and propose a new rule? I'm 100% sure, honorable member, that somebody who was absent when you were discussing matters arising, what is he or she going to discuss while she was or he was absent? Any party who wants to take it to a Rules Committee must do so. Thank you. Remember, I'm closing the matter. Any party felt that we are unfair, I'm unfair, must take it to a Rules Committee in order that it must be black and white. Because I do understand that when we are not in the meeting, not present because of other engagement, I even said so that it's not about that only Mr. Ndaiza, the huge chairperson, when he wanted to be in this committee, but he must attend another committee, he cannot come today when we are discussing the matters of rising of the last week, for instance. He's just surprised, what are we talking about? Because he was not present. But when we are talking, we're hearing, oh, they were discussing APJ. Can you want to participate in a meeting of matters arising that the gist of the meeting were not there? I'm saying I'm still 100% that I'm right when I'm saying you can't raise in matters arising in a meeting that we're absent. If we are thinking that I'm wrong, go to a Rules Committee and introduce this new rule. Because if we are going to the Rules Committee, we see what is there, or we don't see anything there. So I'm not going to take that, because I'm 100% sure that it's a standard that you cannot, whilst you are absent, you cannot be present on the following day whilst you are not present on the current day. I'm closing the matter, honorable member. Sometimes, to be fair to honorable members, they even sometimes make you take decisions that maybe sometimes will regret, but according to myself, that I've been in this parliament, I don't want to call the yes. No one is taking participation in the meeting that in the minute matter arising that he or she was not present on the meeting itself. I will be called someone if anyone wants to challenge that. I'll go and present myself. Thank you, honorable member. Was in question is I was still in the last page, and so let's include what is not included, because honorable Madiba wanted that we must include what he said in the meeting and what I said in the meeting, what the members supported, what other members not supported. And so he wanted to have the question on the last day. Honorable Manate is saying that if somebody was part of the meeting, I'm sure still also referring to Honorable Madiba. Honorable Madiba was part of the meeting, but we ended up where he was asked to be released. we know the part where he was not, and I'm still repeating, he cannot on the part that was not in the meeting that we have taken decision. Decisions are taken by the people who are in the meeting contributing. To excuse yourself in the meeting, you have got a right, and chairperson have got a right to know that. But it ended when we were present. That's what today I'm responding to Honorable Mugabe's question. Any other, in page 7, any other thing? May we adopt the minutes of the last meeting? No, it's okay, what is it? Honorable Malcolm.
We move for the adoption as amended by the inclusion of that point by Mr. Mabika and the point that you raised that the local organizing committee must be raised.
Honorable members, we are done with the minutes of the last June. Do you have any other news? Still collecting the date of... Okay. What is on now? The next thing in the you have asked me to ask the minister. Oh, before that.
I'm a little confused. Are we on consideration or missiles arising? It wasn't here. So I need clarity on that. On whether we are on matters arising now before you spoke, so that's why I was a bit hesitant, so I wasn't sure whether we are still on item 3 or we are going for item 4. I'm saying the minutes were adopted and you were talking about announcements. And I may have jumped the gun, but that's what I'm asking. I'm asking for clarity as to whether are we now at point 4, because you're talking about announcements.
Can you say what I've omitted, or do you think that I've omitted in order that I must correct that?
No, Chair. We were at item 3 dealing with the minutes, and it was adopted. But I then had to talk about announcements. So I want to know whether the announcement is 0.6 or are we still at point? Are we at 0.4?
You want to say that I didn't say matter arising from the minutes.
From the minutes, yeah.
I omitted that.
Okay.
No, that's what I wanted you to correct me. I've omitted matter arising. I think that.
Yes.
Okay. That's the only thing that I wanted.
Okay.
In order that I must correct.
Yes,
I must correct that. Matters arising from the minutes, Honorable Member. Thank you for that, Honorable Malash. Honorable Member.
No, Chairperson, I'm not going to go on, but I just want to raise this question. That, you know, when we do certain things or these things, I think we should do them, you know, accordingly. We have just adopted and somebody seconded. So it means we are dying with the minutes now. But I'm not saying we should not go that way. I'm saying to you that we should, you know, stop it before we can adopt the minutes, raise everything that is peculiar to the minutes. That's just what I want to say. But we can go back to the minutes. I think it's a good
idea.
No, Chair, on matters arising, the only method...
No. Honorable Malash, let's thank you, because whoever proposed and seconded, they overlooked what you are saying, like myself. We are all human beings. It was an error. Let's not argue it. It was an error in order that we must correct each other. It was an error to me and to Honorable Rakoma and Honorable Bergman. They didn't realize that we didn't raise Matata Rising. Let's go to Matata Rising.
I don't know if I've been in the meeting or not. All we were, what I was saying is that the minutes as discussed are correct. So that's what Luke and I are saying. It's correct. Now, as per the agenda, now you move on to matters arising from the minutes because now they're correct. So it's different as if you had the minutes and said that, Major Tom was here to give us a speech and he wasn't. And people say matters arising wasn't there and they start discussing for 3 hours. We're just saying, take that out of the minutes or what's correct. So we're testing for the fact that the minutes are correct.
Thank you, honourable members. Matters arising. Honourable Rahom.
No, sir, I was trying to assist that the only matter that is arising.
Can I go like twice? Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. You didn't say anything to me. You thought a woman loved you. What are you saying, honorable? Yes, sir.
I'm saying the course check. What those pages where you know there was the meta rising or will not be allowed according to a rule. So there is no need for me to remain.
When did you, when did you leave the committee meeting?
I know.
You were still here when in these pages that I'm
yeah, but I know there's nothing that with assuming there's nothing that will come out.
Okay.
Part of the meeting where the speech of the minister is clarified for now.
No, but you need to be honorable Malika, whom I know. And if you want to be excused, you don't firstly indicate to another member because I've caught you doing that. So you are supposed to ask to be released as honorable Malika, whom I know. You are released.
I'm saying my neighbor that my meeting has ended now.
No, but you're supposed to tell your chairperson. You're supposed to tell your chairperson.
The last thing.
You're supposed to tell your chairperson. I'm still your chairperson.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chair. I'm leaving because my meeting has ended.
Okay, thank you. I need that petition, honorable. Page 3. Page 4. Honourable members, the election fever is with us in this committee, and we must know that when there is an election fever, everyone will be dancing in the election fever. This committee used not to be like this. Maybe Ushafa came with this to us. So if Ushafa want us to behave like this, we must all behave abnormal. Yes, this committee has been a committee that you're respecting each other, but now I don't know what's going on. Where we had Honorable Sudan Huye now when Imidia is here, but other members now I don't understand, especially the outgoing member. But if we want to treat this committee the way that we are changing, we're all in here to change. It has a change, honorable members. I'm the chairperson who can be very sweet and nice, but how dare them tremble on my power? Power, I ain't gonna want a lot. Yes. We'd love that Silas Comas remain, because we've been a family, but all of a sudden I'm seeing kings. So if status quo remains, I'll take the tune from you, honorable members. But if the status quo is not remained, I'll take you also from you, my deputy chairperson. page 5.
Thank you, sir. On point number 24, I mean, it's a matter that arises because when they made that controversial statement, there was input, which I think is very important that we highlighted there, because we then talked about what they need, like a genuine gender empowerment program, and it just is committee deliberated. But I think that point was key because that gentleman was out of order with that comment.
Remember, sometimes when staff look happy, all the matters raised by committee members is so difficult. I'm even scared to present what Usum is saying. Because you can write minutes if honorable members they are feeling that you have omitted something, you must not feel offended. No. I don't want to repeat what you are saying to me. That's why I'm saying to you, you need to respect your members, even if you're thinking that you were right. But immediately that they are saying you have omitted something, you need to just take what a member is saying. But your argument, you can't assist this meeting to tell what you're saying. Can you repeat, Honorable Malek?
On point number 24. I just forgot his name. The gentleman, it's noted here, then he says the committee deliberated. But I remember the reaction we had to that statement, because it was a very sexist statement. And we then made the point that when the next time, in the meantime, they must establish a very genuine program of gender empowerment. And that was what the final remarks from this committee, that they must go and establish a genuine program of gender empowerment, because that gentleman said that on Women's Day they bring mothers and children from township to Nairobi and then they go home tired to their husbands.
It was very insulting and corrected on the spot, and I don't see anything that maybe are disrespecting whoever was writing minutes, and sometimes really some other things need to be respected as members. If we don't feel that the minutes are not correct, they are not always incorrect, these minutes. Do you want to entertain this thing?
No, Chair, I thought it will be very easy to just correct that 24, to make the point that Malachi was making. Because the in terms of committee deliberated, it is in terms of everything. But I think she must just correct the point that you are making. That we did make that point that...
No, Page, she's going to do that. Page 6.
Yeah, on page 6, maybe there's feedback in terms of the indication to the minister is how far are we, because we made that resolution.
I was thinking as a way, because I did brief you. Honorable members, I've asked Usumela to write a letter, and the minister did verbally told me that he is coming, but after 3 days he called me interpretation. My apology, I've been given a task. I'm not going to come to the committee. I'm having a task of the president of QBMs. And I convey to the office of SUNE. I'm sure that's why today Imeja is not with us, because we heard that the minister excused himself. So that's the response. And I was saying to himself, we said, if your diary's open, you may come. And if it's not, give us a date. He said to me, chairperson, you know that. That's why we're saying that they must apply. You know that, but there's no one needed to be in parliament to represent yourself. You speak to some structure that I'm speaking on. During recess, I want the in parliament with you. I cannot call a committee to parliament. Let's go to recess, and then if you still need me, and also if members they are feeling that they can write a question to me, I will answer. I don't know, I've been in the TV this morning, because sometimes in South Africa we're led by media that the minister is going to answer a question. I don't know what that question is. I cannot confirm it into the media. He can misrepresent the committee. That's the report.
Anything from page 6? I'm feeling very cold. I'm feeling very
Page 7. Page 7.
So in terms of, I just want to clarify from you about what then remains the current positions, then the message just responded to, because it's on page 7. Given the feedback that you have just given us, what then becomes the idea given also the program of this committee for the second term, as to where that engagement with the minister is going to happen, and or not, whether we're going to wait to get an indication of the date from his office, so that we can have clarity on the resolution of this.
According to my understanding, they didn't give me any date. So when we're coming back, if still persuade the question, not the question, the invitation, we can do that follow-up. Except that I've seen you wanting to suffer. I don't know whether you are doing contrary to what you expect the minister to come here. It's not off record. I'm saying that, except that we were doing your request that the minister must come and brief us. But I've seen you leading the delegation to Safa. I don't know what does that mean to your request, because we're all committed, and even media took me, not a putting, because actually the minister has been all over in the radios, but he must come and brief us. He can come and brief us. So one of them, so if I was saying, I was talking one other thing. So I'm saying the minister, until we come back to the stress, there's no age that he has given us. When we're coming back, if we see persuaded that he still needs him, maybe South Africa, let's call him. The diary of himself is open. He says he wanted to come. It's a piece that just to dedicate the new table that he was not aware that he's going to be part of EQBS. That means that he has got a role to play in this visit of EQBS. And he apologized. He wanted to come because he wanted to say, he said to me, seemingly, you didn't hear me, I will come in my committee. I've pronounced twice, but if chairperson with the committee want me to come to the committee, I'm ready. And we know most that he's always ready. So, and I've said, because the letter is saying to minister, 23rd, if your diary is open. If not, can you give us a date? He said, no, not whilst you are on recess. So that's the response of the minister. Was not what we're in business. And when we're coming back, we can look at our program. If Honorable Malachi still wants the minister to come, I'll do the follow-up. And I'm 100% sure he can come. Thank you, Honorable members. Now, Honorable Bergman.
Thank you, Chair.
we have corrected that it was wrong. Can you adopt the minutes? Honorable Bergman, adopt the minutes. Any second?
Just saying it's not sitting comfortable with me on the, what on your response to the minister. If we know in recess is now, so we can then ask the minister to give us a date after recess for now. If need be that we cancel, you know, if the information comes or whatever, the information during recess is clear, then of course we can raise all the minister not to worry. But I think it's not more prudent to set the date now, otherwise what will happen is we come back from recess, we then give the minister a date, and then we're going to wait another 14 days, whatever the case may be. Is it possible if we set the date for the minister after recess? No, set the date after it.
I cannot allow that. We must set a date after recess. We are not yet even rescheduled our program. Let's look at our programs that were coming here to after in August. We're coming in August, and our program already is paid, but it cannot be paid as we cannot. But I don't ask to come and amend our program. When is the department coming to us? 25th. On the 1st of them. Honourable members, let's leave the answer from Minister saying that he is not available on the 23rd. And during recess, he's not available. It's an oversight for the organization. So our feeling that we are supporting the adoption in our program, we need not to give a minister a date in order that when you say no, my dire respect will be occasion that there he is. We need to say to the minister, will give us a date when we're coming back. Because even the 23rd, we're thinking that his diary is open. We didn't consult himself. We said he must come on the 23rd because we're seeing the need. But 23rd, he agreed, but all of a sudden he did get a commitment. So I don't know. But I don't see us putting the date for each Dayarga minister in our program.
Thanks, sir. I think it was when we come from the research, we have to go for the oversight. Can we just, we can just maybe do follow up on it so that they can give us a date because they know their diary. And we don't know their diary, even if we can say on the 30th of July, only to find that he is committed on that date. Can we just wait for them? You can just do the follow-up, they give us a date, that's all.
Honorable members, we'll do the follow-up. Maybe I was not clear. I was trying to say we cannot put date for a minute until they know that they are having an outstanding invoice to the committee. And they communicated with Usune, the minister communicated with me, the office communicated with Usune. So surely they do understand that they are having an outstanding visit to the committee.
Anyone adopting the minutes?
Honorable Manana?
I adopt the minutes and the corrections.
Announcements. I'm suspecting we started with announcements in the program of the committee. I don't have any other announcement unless there's anyone who wants to announce something in the committee that we don't know. Except that Otebo has got a baby girl that is eating too much, that is not good, and that is crying. Oh, Unangaba Shen, the lunch has been swept. Honorable Madam.
Thank you. As you indicated earlier, that this would then be the opportunity to come back to the point that Honorable Mushi was making, the one about boxing. Yeah.
Only in the room of the committee, she should talk about the city's mistress, and the program was mistress. Now we're finished, but there's lunch outside the Mkhandla. Honorable members, this problem of Umzonke, go up Umzonke, that's not going to go up. What's the Western people? Take a Kagemitech. What do you think that must do, honorable? But you
Sir, I thought in the main that is the challenge that we are facing with boxing South Africa, and that is why our push towards sponsorship, media, TV coverage for boxers. To address that problem, but in terms of ourselves, we still need to confront the problem of promoters. We have not met with promoters. I'm not sure whether they've got an association or what. The third point that I want to make around this issue is that the department in particular is doing a good work around ensuring that they solve the problem that the boxing SA, the department and the one promoter, because at the moment the problem of even TV coverage is as a result of one promoter who took us to court, that somehow we ended up not having coverage in the media, and somehow it affects boxers. We are reading about the Mfana, which is Mzonke Mfana, but already there is a problem of Tete. You know Tete, that he ended up giving away his title deed because of the negative press that he was going to be given. So that our problem really as the committee, that we need to get to grips with that problem of promoters, and to ensure that we ensure that the OCSA has got the TV coverage, and that is why I'm saying that the both SRE and boxing SA, if this thing of the 26th of June can really happen, maybe some of the problems that are confronted by boxing will be starting to solve some of the key problems that they are experiencing in terms of making the tests that they get. So we might have to say how can we also ensure that we begin dealing with the problem of promoters if we can meet with them as an association, because I'm not sure whether we want to take a risk of meeting with them as individuals.
Thank you, Honorable. Thanks, sir. I'm glad Ron Bruce raised that issue, because I think in the last 3 months there have been up to 5 boxing tournaments where boxers have not been paid purse money and prize money, from the Eastern Cape, Gauteng, Western Cape, and they're having a fundamental problem on two fronts. One is promoters, and both us out of desperation agreeing to partake in there. But secondly is also where some promoters have made payments on time is that internally BSA systems have also failed to pay to make sure that those monies are then transferred to the boxers on time. And I mean, there's one of the big issues, the issue of the Premier Boxing League, where Ndongeni, for instance, for over 6 months hasn't been paid his R1 million that he won, that is due to him. And I think, you know, it's an issue that as the committee should find avenues of definitely holding the promoters involved in each of the cases, and we can find out, and the Woho and Bunis can find out their respective cases where there have been there are instances of non-payment, and also from BSSA to address those internal shortcomings, because we can't paint all of them with the same brush. There are some good promoters who are doing very well to make sure that they do pay on time. But in the instances of cases where, I mean, Tesla, for instance, had 10 promoters, and then the bidding that was done was so low that if he had gone overseas there, you know, all his money would have been taken by taxes and accommodation in there. So it made no sense to take up that fight, you know. And, you know, it's heartbreaking that the majority of these forces are black.
Honourable members, it's pathetic, but if you still remember when the DG was here, he outlined that until we amend Ilantukayako, amend the act, it will assist the authorities of the department that these promoters, not all of them, they are robbing these people. But for the administration, can you, as in my office, write a letter to Boxing South Africa, at least try to get information about those that you have just mentioned. Not calling them in the committee, but if they can give them a time frame that they must try to find and what is happening, in order that if it comes to a push, must look, because these people who are doing this to our people, they know that the law may be protecting them, or it's not there, it's a technical problem, and we need not to be part of technical problems of some people, but in intervention here too. We must ask Boxing South Africa, and in order that Boxing South Africa, they must take these things very serious, try to tell us, and try to tell us about their interventions, because this can't be a committee. We must pursue the Boxing South Africa. They do have the right to call these boxers that are robbing our people. So I'm promoters. I'm suggesting that must write a letter on behalf of chairperson, behalf of the committee, that we want to South Africa to tell us what is going on, and we need to hear about, and we need that they must take this very serious. You know, we are not going to go to this individual. As a committee, we know ourselves. The one of the umkhumsi is a publisher in the school.
Go sit in the blender. Opposition will agree with me what I'm going to say. There's only one international federation that seems to be consistent with the casualization of our class. I'll put it that way. I can name all of them. It was Noni Tenge, Zongefana, Mchalane, it's IBF. The IBF seemed to be laying the problem with this one from the took us to court. Every time the boxer doesn't agree with the promoter on the cash money, that boxer will eventually lose his title off the ring, not inside the ring, irrespective of how the kind of volume of arguments and whatever, the content of the argument. I remember in the issue of Ndongefana, Mzonge was fighting for some million, and he only requested 400,000. 24,000. Remember, under normal circumstances, it's the boxer who's supposed to pay the promoters, in the case of Mayweather and others. But in the South African boxers context, it's the promoters who appropriate money to them. Now, I'm not sure whether we should, while the table was going to write this letter, also extend this to say if boxing South Africa should express the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee of South Africa's concern to IPF that most of our boxers who are trying their trade in IPF are ultimately losing their titles outside the ring. And it's that country of chap laser where the IPF is revolting. And why is that? They are not beating us on the ring. They are beating us off the ring. Why? It's been consistent for the past 10 years. And why is that? We won't find that in WBC, WBA, WBO. We won't. But in IPF. Thank you, Chair.
Let's start with this process, Honourable Member, which I'm proposing. We'll see from there what we do. But we must have a voice for themselves and to boxing South Africa. You know, we must be an air for boxing South Africa, but also to our department to amend boxing South Africa, they must hear us. We department must fast track this thing of amendment. Do that, the Honourable Terps are the interpreter. No, you will write the letter and then give it to Sune. You are my advisor. I advise you to plead with Sune. The son of Castro. Let's have a lunch outside. He's still there. You know those people who are sitting here? They are eating our lunch. It was not an easy day. I'm suspecting until 2016, we are going to box each other, and I'm ready.